chapter 21, book of Proverbs. Don't grow weary. We're on the homeward stretch here, okay? We are more than two-thirds of the way through these 100 lessons on wisdom from the book of Proverbs. The thing about these lessons on wisdom is that they're trying to make them as little repetitive as possible. Sometimes I'll get an idea out of a chapter, and then I'll go back and, you know, cursor down through all the previous lessons that we've looked at, and if it's too similar to a previous lesson, I try not to repeat it. And believe me, friend, you say 100 lessons on wisdom, will there be anything left on the subject in the Bible? Yes, there will be, okay? There's a lot more lessons on the subject of wisdom than the 100 lessons we'll study, and trying to make those as different from each other as possible. We looked at chapter 20, verse 21 last week. If you missed last Sunday, the Bible says an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. And so we talked about living life wisely is avoiding get-rich-quick schemes, okay? Learn to avoid get-rich-quick schemes. Folks, if you get into a financial bind, the lottery is not the answer to your problem, okay? Some mega-this, mega-this, or mega-that, some big bingo thing or some raffle somewhere, that's just not the answer. In fact, the Bible predicts that money's gotten that way usually end up hurting the people more than helping the people. And you've seen live, real-life stories end in disaster as a result of that. So just avoid the get-rich-quick scheme. Work for your money, manage it well, honor the Lord with the tithe, do right, and, you know, be frugal, and God will bless that. You'll live a lot better on that than trying to hit it rich someday, somewhere, okay? So, boy, and that's so compelling. You know, boy, the military really tries to hook these young guys with these bonuses, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 bonuses. Then these kids get in there, and they find out it's not all it's cracked up to be. You know, but they really try to hook them. And the recruiting pressure is on now because, you know, with the war in Iraq, they're having trouble getting enough guys recruited. So they'll use anything and everything to get folks to ink their name on the dotted line. So, you know, that's a poor reason to join the military for a bonus. Just be careful about get-rich-quick schemes, okay? And then we talked about number 66 was the lesson out of chapter 21, verse 3, that I actually expounded on in the message last Sunday night. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And that is learning the value, living life wisely, learning the value of simple obedience, as opposed to seasons of spectacular sacrifice. Seasons of spectacular sacrifice without the day-to-day simple obedience is not as pleasing to the Lord as just the simple day-to-day obedient matter. Be obedient in the day-to-day matters of life. That's far more acceptable to Christ than seasons of sacrifice and the rest of the time letting your life go. And we talked about that more in detail last Sunday night in the message that we preached. I won't re-preach that message, but it's the greater good. You know what? Is sacrifice good? It's good. But the greater part of this is just the simple life of obedience. Day after day after day after day, simply being obedient. Brother Woodward, I think I told that story, how that they sold some hay up at that horse farm up there near Joliet, and he met a fella there that he was doing business with who of course, Brother Woodward had been witnessing to him. And then, you know, I forget exactly all the details. But in the end, the young man called him and said, I need to come down to you and talk about salvation. He said, somebody gave me a piece of paper with what you've been talking to me about on it. And I have trusted Christ as my Savior. He came down to meet Brother Woodward. And it was a tract from the First Baptist Church of Dwight. And Brother Woodward said, where did you find that? He said, somebody found it in one of our portable bathrooms, porta-johns. And they're trying to put all this together. And the only thing Brother Woodward can figure is that at the football camp, they rent several porta-johns. And somebody in his church must have stuck a gospel tract in each one of those porta-johns. And so, and that porta-john got put somewhere else. And this kid used the porta-john, took the gospel tract out, got saved. And it was the tract from First Baptist Church. As a result of that, I think there are 30 people going to church in Lamont at Steve Meister's church right now as a result of that track. 30 people. And I don't know if they're every Sunday, but 30 different people going to that church up there, that Brother Emmanuel Baptist Church in Lamont. Brother Meister's a young pastor, graduated from Providence. And all because just a faithful person stuck a track in a port-a-john, of all places. There's no bad place for a gospel track. Just no bad place. And so there it is. And, you know, I promise you, God takes far more pleasure in the simple act of obedience than he does seasons of sacrifice. That's what this verse is teaching here. God doesn't put things in the Bible just to take up space. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Justice and judgment, boil it down, it means be right and do right. Be right and do right. Day after day after day after day after day. Simple acts of obedience to the Word of God. A simple acts of obedience to the will of God. And God's very pleased with that. Very pleased. As opposed to seasons of sacrifice and then periods of nothing. And by that, there's a lot of that, folks. People get stirred up and they get wild and crazy. And there are seasons of sacrifice. And then you don't see them again for 8 months. And then there's seasons of sacrifice. Then you don't see them again for 6 months. And then there's seasons of sacrifice. And you don't see them again for 12 months. That's inconsistent, up and down. God takes far more pleasure in just a simple life of obedience day in and day out. Amen? And everybody can do that. So that was the lessons we looked at last Sunday if you weren't here. Now, let's look at verse number 11, chapter 21, verse 11. Actually, there's two verses, but we'll go back to, we'll look at this one first. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now, I want you to look at that verse. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now, there are three people mentioned in this verse, not two. Okay, if you like to take notes, you like to mark your Bible, you can mark them. When the scorner, that's person number one, is punished. The simple, that's person number two, is made wise. Okay? Then the Bible says, and when the wise, that's the third person, when the wise is instructed, the next word, he, receiveth knowledge, that he is a reference to the simple. So you've got three people mentioned in this verse. You've got the scorner, the simple, and the wise. Okay? Three people mentioned. Same thing back in chapter 19, verse 25. Turn back there one page or so. It may be on the same page. Chapter 19 and verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Three people in this verse. You got the scorner. That's person one. You got the simple. That's person number two. And then you've got one that hath understanding. That's person number three. That last phrase, and he will understand knowledge, is a reference to the simple. So the simple is learning. The simple is the one that's being influenced. The simple is the one that's watching and listening, looking and paying attention as punishment or praise is meted out. Now here's the lesson, lesson 67. Living life wisely is the result of learning from the lives of others. Living life wisely is the result of learning from the lives of others. Now, let me break these three people down for you. The simple. Let me start with the scorner. I'm sorry, the scorner. This person is a scoffer. That's what the word scorn means. The word actually means to make mouths at, mock. Make mouths at. You're going to catch your kids mocking someday. Okay? You say something and then, you know, then they think this, you know, they think behind your back and they're like you and I did when we were small, okay? Okay? That's a scorner. To make mouths at. One who mocks, but this is a little bit worse than that. This is one who mocks and makes light of truth, mocks and makes light of righteousness, mocks and makes light of authority, mocks and makes light of other matters pertaining to God. This is the scorner, okay? He mocks and makes light of things that pertain to God. Authority, righteousness, truth, holiness. It's a disgusting thing to him. And he mocks it, okay? A scorner. Now, you got the wise person. Well, the wise person is who he is. This is speaking about those who have learned the value of everything that the scorner mocks. The wise person has learned the value of Bible righteousness. He's learned the value of submission to biblical authority. He's learned the value of holiness. He's learned the value of truth. He appreciates truth, righteousness, holiness. And he does more than just appreciate it. He implements it into his life. He's the wise man. That's the person we're studying about throughout the whole book, okay? He's exactly opposite the scorner, okay? Then you've got the simple. Now, the simple is the young man in your home. The simple is my 17-year-old. Some of you don't have teenagers yet. Your children are all young. The simple is a reference to those people that we learned this all the way back at the beginning. The simple is a reference to the people in the age group between 12 and adulthood. Okay? So that's beginning at age 13 all the way through 20, 21, so forth and so on. Okay? They don't just become an adult when they turn 18. They don't flip a switch and become an adult like our society says. Okay? Most of you don't have teenagers yet. But the teenage word is not in the Bible. Okay? The category that represents those in the teenage years is described as simple. Again, it's not talking about mentally handicapped here. Like our mentally handicapped ministry, we talk about the simple-minded. It's not talking about those people who are challenged intellectually, can't learn, slow learners. That's not what it's referring to in the Bible. The word simple in the book of Proverbs is that teenage young person who has yet to establish his way in life. He's learning. He's listening. He's taking it in. He's hearing, he's seeing, he's open. The word means to make room. He's roomy, okay? There's a lot of sway for influence in his life. That's true about my 17-year-old. Now, I see small signs of him beginning to establish some principles about his way. I see some small signs of that. I see some small signs of that in the 15-year-old. But they got a long ways to go, okay? They're still at the age the Bible describes as simple. These are people who are easily influenced. Now, this simple person is the one who's taking all this in. And the Bible says when the scorner is punished, when the scorner is corrected, the simple person takes that in and goes, wow. He learns a lesson. When the wise man is praised, the simple one takes that in too. And he learns a lesson. Twice, in this book, the wise man said that when the scorner is punished, the simple will take note and learn a lesson. Twice, the wise man said that when the wise is praised or instructed, the simple will take note and learn a lesson from the wise man's obedience. Okay? There is wisdom in learning from the successes and failures of others. There's wisdom. And really, friend, when your kids get to be teenagers, It is a wise thing, during those years especially, help them learn from the mistakes and the successes of others. Now, there's a fine line there, because it is wrong to be openly critical of someone who makes a mistake. You can't be critical. And you don't want to develop an attitude of superiority in your children by teaching we're not like them. That's the problem. Our kids are like the ones who've made mistakes. That's the whole issue. Our problem is that our kids are prone to the same mistakes that others have made. It's not that we're better than, and that's why we don't do that. Oh, no, no, no. That's the wrong approach. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." About the minute you think your kids won't, they will. About the minute you and I think we can't is when we do. You better be careful about a superiority attitude, an elitist mentality. Well, I can't stand that. And because we're Christians, we're elite. No, we're not. We're servants. That's what we are. And we're unprofitable servants, the Bible says in the book of in one of the Gospels. And we are prone to everything that everybody who's made a mistake is prone to do. That's why we want to teach the kids, okay? You never build up a child by teaching them to be critical of others. That's unwise, folks. And by the way, if you do that, what you sow, you reap. You teach your kids to be critical of others, other people are going to be critical of your kids. That's the way it works. You don't want to rear negative-minded, critiquing children, all right? Always looking for something to point out in somebody else's life that's not right. Okay, that's what you want to avoid. However, a scorner is a different matter. A scorner is someone who has gone public with their careless attitude toward God. They've gone public with their rebellion. They've gone public with their careless attitude toward right. Remember, they make mouths at. They mock right. They mock holiness. They're not somebody who's trying to live for God and experiences a little bit of failure. This is somebody whose heart despises righteousness, despises holiness. This is a different matter. They have thrown caution to the wind. They have become a boastfully caustic and boastfully critical. And when that person is dealt with, either by human authority or by the hand of God, young people have the opportunity to learn. And that's what the Bible is teaching here. When a scorner is rebuked, when a scorner is punished, the simple beware. They take note. They see it. They learn. And so here it is unwise. And by the way, God's even in the habit of doing this in the Bible. I won't turn to it for sake of time because I'm out of time. But in Jude, God tells us that in the book of that in Sodom, when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah, God made an example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was public with their wickedness. They were public with their love for homosexuality, public with their hatred for right. And God made an example out of Sodom and Gomorrah by destroying them with fire and brimstone. Okay? God made, and the Bible clearly teaches that. So there are times, I'll clarify this even more next week, but there are times when with your children, you sit down with them and they've been privy to something that's happened in the classroom, in church. They've watched it. It's been public. It's out there. They see it. They've seen a negative, demoralizing, critical, ugly, rebellious attitude toward God and right. And all of a sudden, God deals with it. And it's an opportunity for the simple, the young person, to learn. That's what the Bible teaches. The simple will beware. Okay? So there are opportunities like that. We'll talk about that next week. You just got to be sure you don't cross the line and teach them to become critical. You with me this morning, all right? You got that breakfast on your stomach. You're about to go to sleep on me. Amen. God help Billy Griffin downstairs. All right, see you downstairs. Amen. And speaking of food, there's a little bit left. Amen. So.